This is the sound of second chances. It's more than a bowl of pet food. It's nutrition that changes lives. It's the sound of healthy, happy pets. Not just in your home, but in shelters across the country. Because feeding your pet Hills helps feed shelter pets. Science did that. Hills Pet Nutrition. Buy the bag that gives back. Visit hillspet.com/giveback or tap the banner to learn more.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we are back, and Miss Wendy's about ready to go run off and get her beauty sleep and just leave me and poor old Joe out here by ourselves. But anyhow, she's going to tell you about apothecary herbs, and the phone number is 866-229-3663. Tell them what you got going on, Wendy. Go ahead. Are you there?
I'm here. We're having a Memorial Day sale. We just started, and it'll end on the 2nd of June, and it's 20% off. Details are on the website at thepowerherbs.com, or they can simply, as you mentioned, give us a call at 866-229-3663, and we also offer a free product catalog.
And it's a great catalog. It really is. And one of these days, I'll have my picture in it. That's my... my last
you're
will.
Hurry up and just put his picture on one of the catalogs, Wendy. It'll make him a happy
people.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
That website again, Wendy.
It's the Power Herbs. The Power Herbs. It's all about empowerment and taking the power back.
ThePowerHerbs.com. Got it. Okay.
Right.
If I can't write it, I figure other people will have trouble. I know what it is, but. If I can't write something down, I say there's got to be some listeners that couldn't do it either.
Well, I know a lot of people say, well, why isn't it apothecaryherbs.com? Because that's the name of the company. I said, well, we do have that domain as well, but people have trouble spelling that.
Apothecary,
so,
right.
And
yeah. They keep getting the wrong website.
Yeah, well, and people go, what is apothecary anyway? It's a biblical term. The apothecaries made the anointing oils.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, they don't know. I mean... It's an amazing thing. People are so biblically illiterate today. It's
So the Power Herbs is the title of my book, and it's just easier to remember and type. So
it is, and it's got a really nice cover on it. There's a bottle of your kidney, a stone formula, telling you how to get rid of those kidney stones.
Yeah, huh? A lot of people don't know they can dissolve kidney stones. They don't have to pass them. They skip the hard part, you know what I mean?
Dissolving them is a lot easier,
like a
isn't
idea.
It?
Yeah, and it works really fast. So, I highly recommend trusting God's herbal medicine because he says herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations, and I believe him.
And on the back of the back cover, it's Wendy's got her picture there so you know what she looks like. And then you have testimonies. Using your top quality supplements, I've been a game changer for me. And that's Bill Knott from Cobleskill, New York. And then I am on the fourth order, and I have been very satisfied with your products. I have referred a few friends to your site, and that's Susan Amos.
A lot of great customers, they give us lots of feedback. And on the website with each item, you'll also see what people are saying about the product. So you can look at the reviews there.
Yeah.
Wendy, I had one question I'd like to ask you. Been following the drug use in America, and one of the things that marijuana now, it said daily marijuana use is outpacing daily drinking. So more people are using marijuana daily or every day, outnumber those that take a drink every day.
Which do you do the most, Joe?
I drink coffee the most. The question is, this marijuana that's out there now has been hybrid. It's not the marijuana back in,
We were calling it that used to be called wacky weed back in those days.
Yeah, way back anyway, there was a big thing out in the east. But it's way stronger, more addictive. Doctors are now saying it's dangerous. It's more addictive. It causes hallucinations, all kinds of. Is there any natural herbs, because these things are unnatural in a way. I was talking about there's now cannabis psychosis, where people are losing touch with reality, things like this. Is there anything in the natural realm to help with addictions like that?
There is, but, you know, your cannabis, as you've pointed out, has been altered somewhat. But it was originally, it's one of our pain herbs. It's what we were used to use for pain.
Oh.
Poppy is the other one. Poppy was reserved for pain. But, of course, you know, they made
it. Yeah, now it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they still do that. In fact, they still make that. I have a salve. It's a... in one of these little round jars, and it's a very, very thick salve, almost like the consistency of shoe polish almost, and you rub it on, and it does kind of numb things up a little bit there for you.
Yeah, but to answer your question about addictions, the European spas use a therapy, and you can do it in one day, and it tends to remove addictions, and it doesn't matter what kind of addiction. It could be tobacco, it could be street drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be emotional trauma issues, and it's called the cold sheet treatment, okay? So they have a bunch of herbs that they put together that encourage sweating, and they put them in like a Muslim tea bag, and they stick them in a hot bath of water, okay? And people will soak in that water for about half an hour, and while they're in there, they'll also serve them teas that make them sweat. So this is where it's almost like the old-fashioned
Indians had the sweat lodges.
Yes, yes. And also seafaring captains had sweat tents on board. You know, if you didn't sweat to death, if that didn't kill you, then you were cured kind of thing. So it's kind of like that. So you sweat for 20, 30 minutes, and while you're in that tub, you have a sheet that's soaking in 20 pounds of ice water, okay? And then when you come out of this bath, they wrap you in this really cold sheet, and it just feels very good, and you get all
very
relaxed.
Very good? Wow.
Yeah, it feels really great. I mean, you've been sweating, and you want something to cool you down? This is it. And they wrap you up in this, and you get so relaxed you go to sleep, okay? And all the impurities that are toxins trapping in these addictions, and if you think about it, your emotions are really chemicals. And so if you've got, you know, post-traumatic stress, narcissist abuse syndrome or any of these things, it seems to come out through the pores. It just exits through the body, and it goes into the sheet. So you always wrap yourself in a sheet you don't care about, because it's going to discolor the sheet.
Wow. Hmm.
Yep. And then when you wake up, then you just take a shower as usual, and you're done. But that typically, now people with emotional traumas, when they're soaking in the bath, they tend to shiver and shake a bit and may start crying. Okay. But this is what they do in Europe to get rid of addictions.
Wow, because they're talking about nowadays, there's another article about fentanyl is so horribly addicting, and they're talking about, well, it kills, but for those that don't die, it's so addicting. They talk about the tremendous cost in counseling and medication and everything, trying to get people off of fentanyl, that it's just about the hardest thing to get off of once you're addicted to. So,
mm-hmm.
Oh, that's why I brought up the question. It seems like the drugs that they're using are stronger, more potent, harder to get off of, whether it's fentanyl or cannabis. And
I've
never heard of that sweat thing. I don't think I've ever seen anything on that.
Yeah, I listed in my book the power herbs, and I show people how they can do it. You can do it in the privacy of your home, but you need someone to help you.
It's in the book
is called The Power Herbs. It's up on our website. It's a download. It's $14.99. But basically, you would be, you know, taking in herbs, and if you get a little, fainty or lightheaded, then that assistant that's with you can give you some other herbs to bring you back around, kind of thing. So, because it is a process, and you're detoxifying, and it can be taxing. So, yeah, you definitely need somebody with you.
All right. And you know, right, Wendy, thanks. Do you know who Elijah Schaefer is?
Elijah Schaefer?
Uh-huh.
The name sounds familiar, but vaguely I don't recall.
Elijah works. He's with the Gateway Pundit, and he's going to tell us here why the FBI, when they went into Mar-a-Lago, was told they could use lethal force. And there's all kinds of information coming out now that suggests that the FBI had, well, they had permission to go ahead, even if they had to shoot Secret Service agents. Now, why would you have to shoot a Secret Service agent? Only because they were protecting somebody, huh?
Yeah. And so, interesting.
Yeah, Hank, so we're going to hear from him right now. Okay. If you want to stick around, it's very short.
Well, I'm going to leave you to that and the commentary, and I'm going to go rest my eyeballs.
All right, so go rest your eyeballs, and thanks for being here. You always do a good program.
Well, thank you, Pastor, and thank you, Pastor Joe. You have a great night, okay?
You too. Thanks. Talk to you
later. All right. God bless. Bye-bye. Go ahead and Style, take us away.
Filings on classified docs case, I'll try to post as much as I can. There goes the workout. Joe Biden was ready to have his main political rival, Donald Trump, and his family killed for a publicity stunt. That's what we believe. Judge Eileen Cannon on Tuesday unsealed numerous motions related to Jack Smith's classified documents case against Trump. One filing revealed Biden's FBI authorized the use of deadly force during their raid on Mar-a-Lago, authorized by U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland in August of 2022. The insanity here you can see in the document says law enforcement officers of the Department of Justice may use deadly force when necessary. So when they talk about trying to just get unsealed documents or sealed documents from a bathroom, we're just looking for papers, Mr. Trump. Really? Well, it looks like the FBI was more than willing to use deadly force. On who? Trump's associates? Trump's Secret Service? Maybe on Trump himself. And why are we just finding out about this now? Well, it doesn't seem like there's any sort of suspicion to this. Just kidding. Of course there is. There are other docs that rung our alarm bells. It said, should F. POTUS Trump arrive at Mar-a-Lago, FBI, MMEM, and OSC will be prepared to engage with F. POTUS and USSS security team. Should USSS provide resistance or interfere with FBI timeline or accesses, FBI MMEM will engage with redacted, and redacted will engage with USSS POC's per existing liaison relationship. So when you're just looking at this document here, it appears that the FBI was on the verge of getting into a shootout with the Secret Service and genuinely was willing to shoot at Trump if it was necessary. See, this is where we get back to the January 6th narrative. Now, I was there on January 6th, and I firmly believe from the bottom of my heart that ultimately what the government wanted was for Trump to genuinely wage a coup, actually lead an insurrection, so they could kill him. I believe on January 6th that Nancy Pelosi and the incoming Biden regime and the deep state, which already planned to rebel against Trump, were trying to start a civil war right there and then. More like their own insurrection, their own coup. And we see the documents here with the contingencies directly in their words that they were going to try to take out Trump. Now, the insanity with all this is that's not even the worst of it. Julie Kelly actually ended up posting more explaining what actually happened. So the FBI had a medic on the scene and identified a local trauma center for anyone injured during the FBI raid. Shows the authorization of deadly force. Check out this document here. So this is the authorization form to use deadly force, but they also had a medic. So they were prepared for a shootout. Now, you might be saying, okay, well, aren't law enforcement allowed to carry firearms? Can't they have the ability to use their firearms if they are fired upon? Well, of course. I don't think you need an authorization to defend yourself if you're in the line of duty and you're fired upon. But what we're seeing here is not just law enforcement officers prepared with a firearm to shoot back at someone that may fire at them. This was premeditated, coercive planning and programming of agents of the Federal Bureau of Investigations to attack Mar-a-Lago. I want to repeat that. This was authorization, and I could say a contingency of encouragement, coercion of officers to be ready or anticipate to shoot out with Secret Service and with Donald Trump. It's absolutely insane. And you can read the whole executive, continued execution order here directly. And we know that Biden had direct involvement in this Mar-a-Lago raid. So they were trying to kill Trump. That was their ultimate goal. But we've seen this in multiple situations already. It's absolutely insane. Now, as we're talking about this, I want to remind you that, you know, a lot of times things like this get out of control quick, including our finances, and we get into debt fast. Look, you can continue to try to forget about your debt, your credit card debt, loans, and pretend like it's going away, but it's not, unless you talk to my friends at donewithdebt.com, donewithdebt.com. Right now, they have a debt relief solution. It's time sensitive, so you can't wait. You have to go to their website, donewithdebt.com. Click Vigilant News at checkout. They'll take care of the rest. You don't need to file for bankruptcy. You're not going to have to take out a loan. But guys, they don't want you to be as out of it like our country is. They don't want you to be out of the loop paying those vicious interest rates at talking about, you know, this insanity that they were trying to literally take out Trump. It says law enforcement officers of the Department of Justice may use deadly force only when necessary. That is, when the officer has a reasonable belief that the subject to such force poses an imminent danger of death or serious physical injury to the officer or to another person. The final points here is that Biden revoking Trump's executive privilege opened the door for the former president to be subpoenaed. Now, we know that. The subpoena then opened the door for the Justice Department to charge Trump with federal crimes. Shortly after Trump was subpoenaed, the Fed showed up at Mar-a-Lago and then retrieved some documents and told the former president to put an extra lock on the storage locker.
All righty. The interesting thing there with that, Joe, is they complied with all of that. Now here, again, this whole thing was a setup, and this is what Merrick Garland is going to be called in. Supposedly, he's got to win, I think, the end of this week, I believe, or the first of next week, to either come across, okay, with those docs, with those documents, that they have, and this is what they've been trying to hide, and this is what Obama wanted to make sure that they got out of there, because there were some things going back that he was a part of going back to before 2016. And so, anyhow, Merrick Garland said he's not going to give him, if he doesn't, then I hope that they arrest him. This guy has committed high treason against the country.
Well, there's so much more going on. There's an article by Bob Unruh, World News Daily. Was Obama implicating top secret binder, what FBI really wanted? Remember when they went into Mar-a-Lago, not only did they have this, you know, deadly force thing that Dan Bongino and others that have been government agents, they said, no, that something like that should have been just go in, talk to the Secret Service. We have a warrant to pick up the documents. It should have been handled totally different than it was. Anyway, aside from that, remember they were going through the whole house. They took private things. They took passports and information like that. One of the things, remember they went through Melania's dressing room and stuff. Well, they were looking through paperwork there. They were looking through what they call binders, and a report at the Gateway Pundit said that they were looking for a missing top-secret binder that could link Barack Obama to the conspiracy against Trump. And that's why they were looking through the son's room and Melania's room. They were looking to see where Trump had hidden this document. Remember, he tried to get two different attorney generals to declassify the hundreds of pages about Crossfire Hurricane scandal.
Yeah.
And in the end, what happened is Chief of Staff Mark Meadows gave the binder back to the DOJ just before they left office, and he told the DOJ to make Privacy Act redactions out of abundance of caution. And then he said, expeditiously release this binder when you're finished. Well, he thought they would do it in a few days. It's been 3 years now, and it still has not been released. Trump released that. That whole, you know, crossfire hurricane thing was supposed to come out in the open. And
yeah. Well, the document, that he's talking about, Joe, the document is contained damning evidence of Barack Obama, CIA involvement in initiating. He was the one that was initiating him, and guess who?
That's what it was all about.
Him and Hillary, the Russian collusion narrative against President Trump. So here, remember, Fox News host Jesse Waters discussed these details on his show, citing and reporting by investigating journalist Michael Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi, and the report says
Matt Taibbi.
We remember that. So,
this is what that a lot of people think. That's what all the going through Barron's room and everything was, to find that document that would show, Barack Obama was guilty of some very bad things as president, and that was the big reason. It wasn't really the other stuff he had. The secret was that was the ruse to find that document that would make Obama look bad and blacken his reputation and all kinds of problems.
Well, you know, Trump's response was blunt. Well, I just came out of the Biden witch house. Remember, in fact, he said that witch hunt trial in Manhattan, the icebox, it was shown reports that crooked Joe Biden's DOJ in their illegal, unconstitutional raid on Mar-a-Lago authorized the FBI to use deadly lethal force. Now we know for sure that Joe Biden is a serious threat to democracy. He is mentally unfit to hold office. Again, Biden was the one that gave the instructions. Now, the very first thing when this came out, Biden came out and says, I had nothing to do with that.
Right.
And, you know, right away, okay, before anybody said he did. What does that tell you?
Yeah, that's called, that's kind of like letting the cat out of the bag. He was denying something that nobody's accused him of. So, guilty conscience, he must have been worried and figured this was going to happen. That's the only reason.
Here he said, this all happened because the leftists at the National Archives colluded with the Biden White House to assemble a criminal case against President Trump at a time when the representatives apparently were trying to work out all of the disputes that were involved in ownership of the documents for presidency. Now, you know, recently...
Well, the documents were, you know, everything in Mar-a-Lago was guarded by Secret Service, so to get into those documents, they had to go through the Secret Service, and that's about as good a protection as you can have other than a huge bank vault, probably more protected than the National Archives. So, right there, it tells you that something had a very, very foul smell to the whole operation, but I think there were several things. It's possible that they were hoping that Trump would get shot or something, but I think they were trying to find those documents because it said there were probably 15 citations of pictures of binders in Melania Trump's suite. Binder was the word they used for documents, folders, things like that. So they were going through everything she had and Barron had. They were looking for something.
Yeah. All righty. Just in, Ohio Secretary, well, actually, you know, we reported on this because Frank LaRose said this about 2-3 weeks ago, but Ohio Secretary of State threatens to exclude Biden from ballot if the DNC fails to comply with the state nomination law. See, this is one of the reasons people believe that sometime... you know, they've changed it. They're saying sometime around August that they're going to dump Joe Biden
at the convention.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. They're going to pull out, and some are saying that it's going to be Michelle. Others are saying it's going to be Newsom. We'll see. But anyhow, let me read you the article. Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose has issued a stern warning to the Democratic Communist Party. Comply with Ohio's stringent nomination laws or face the exclusion of President Joe Biden from the state's ballot this November, according to AP. The controversy centers on a critical scheduling conflict. Ohio law mandates that presidential candidates be officially nominated at least 90 days before the election, setting this year's deadline at August 7th. However, the Democratic National Convention is slated for August 19th through the 22nd, well past the cutoff date. The Rose's office has confirmed that no satisfactory plan has been proposed by the communists. They use the words Democrat. I use the word communist.
Yeah, you substituted. Well, it's a correct substitution.
Yep.
We are, as we've been trying to tell people, in the middle of a communist revolution, and maybe someday more people will figure out what's happening.
This is the first one here, Joe. This is amazing here. The feds call the Catholic Mass a demonstration, and they ban it from the National Cemetery. This
is
the first.
I was going to bring that one up.
Why is it all of a sudden? Why is it all of a sudden a demonstration? It hasn't been a demonstration in all these years.
What they've been doing it, what, 60 years or something like that? Crazy. They've been doing it a long, long time.
Well, they've been doing it since the 1960s, so that would be 60 years, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much 64, yeah, but at least 60.
Yeah.
And here, because they're calling it a what?
They're calling it a demonstration.
A demonstration, wow.
The federal government is being taken to the court for calling a Catholic Mass a demonstration and banning it from the National Cemetery at Memorial Day. The fight is over the requests from the Knights of Columbus to hold a Memorial Day event in Poplar Grove National Cemetery, as they've been doing since 1960. The National Park Services refused permission, insisting that the events planned by the community service organization constituted a demonstration. The status now is that the First Liberty Institute and the law team at McGuire Woods have filed a motion for a temporary restraining order against the National Park Service in Petersburg, Virginia, that would allow the event to move forward. Now, it's an amazing thing. All of a sudden, after all these years, now it's a demonstration.
Right. The celebration. this, folks, just shows the hatred that Obama truly has for religion. He professes to be this good Catholic, and here they're denying the very Knights of Columbus to hold services. These are, you know, Catholic Mass is a religious service for Catholics, right? For Roman Catholics. And there's no way it's a demonstration. They're not, throwing rocks. They're not setting up barricades. They're not doing, you know, chanting with signs, anything that you would think of as it's a religious worship service. Nothing to do with a demonstration at all.
Yeah, well,
and
again,
so this just shows how much the country's changing. The Antichrist system is taking charge and has to get rid of religion, especially the Christian religion, because what? Morality, because God has settled law. He said those, you know, can't do this, can't do that, they can't murder, can't do all these, can't commit adultery, all the sins.
Yeah, well, let me read you the article. It says the policy and the decision blocking the Knights of Columbus from continuing their longstanding religious tradition is a blatant violation of the First Amendment and the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, said John Moran, partner at the McGuire Woods. We urge the court to grant a restraining order and allow the Knights to hold their service this Memorial Day. Should this event be allowed, as it always has been, permitted, Roger Byron of First Liberty said, the National Park Service is way, way out of line. This is a kind of unlawful.
Orders. Remember, the National Park Service is taking orders from the Biden White House.
Yep. There you go.
That's where the problem is, right there.
And what's happened is Biden has gotten a lot of pushback from Catholics who tell him he should be ashamed to call himself a Catholic, that no Catholic is pro of death. And, you know, this is what they're saying.
They're right. A real Catholic is not pro death. They're pro life. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Alrighty, you're a liar. Normiason, key architect behind the color revolution and the 180 lawfare cases. 180 lawfare cases against President Trump. Hang tight. We'll be back right after this, and I'll explain.
He made the ground, the mountains high and the earth round.
And I saw God become a man and hung upon a cross by love.
The Ancient of Days came to teach us his ways.
Give him all your love, give him all your praise.
Hanging on a cross there, he took my place because of love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take a broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
Like me, don't question or doubt.
Strengthen their faith day in and day out.
Sins all forgiven, all blotted out. Man called love. Then I see how I've been blessed.
Got a home in heaven, the very best.
Then I know by God this world was blessed by a man called love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love. Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
All righty, we're back. And folks, you're a liar. You're a liar, the reporter shouted at Eisen. You set all this up, and Costello just exploded all your BS. You're going to jail. Trump's defense witness, Robert Costello, on Monday testified that Norm Eisen coerced Michael Cohen to pay Stormy Daniels out of his own pocket. Eisen waited and walked over to a cop for protection. Remember, that whole thing was set up. This was set up by them. And remember, Stormy four times had made a statement, four different times, and she signed it, affidavits, that nothing ever happened between her and Trump.
Right.
And then in the courtroom, they said, well, when she did that, she was lying.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, you know.
But then she was guilty of extortion. What it was all of a sudden she realized she wasn't going to get anywhere with Trump, so she decided to try and extort him, and she's the one guilty of a crime and then lies about the crime. That's the way this whole thing works. Same thing with the attorney, you know.
Yep. Norm Eisen is behind every lawfare case. What he did... People were shouting at him. In fact, the crowd, when they saw him, went after him, and he ran over to the cops and got behind the cops to protect him, that little weasel.
Wow. I've got a story, probably this would be the dictionary definition of hypocrisy. MSNBC... Morning Joe, they decided they were going to, you know, turn to an affair expert to bash Trump, right? And then on The View, guess what? They brought in the world's leading expert. They brought in Hillary Clinton. So she appeared on Morning Joe to denounce Trump for squashing the bimbo stories. She said, quote, "I think the defendant, the former president, knew exactly what he was doing when he went to such great lengths to try and squash, bury, kill stories, pay off people because he understood the electoral significance of them." And, you know, all the time, nobody interrupted her asking about the squashing, burying, killing of stories that Hillary Clinton engaged in when she and Bill first were, you know, in the White House. We called it the bimbo eruptions. She went and she just tore apart all of those women that accused Bill Clinton of things. And she was the meanest thing on earth, right? So, of all people to bring in to talk about Trump and women was Hillary Clinton. I just,
well, to us,
would be the height of hypocrisy.
Yeah, well, to us, hypocrisy is wrong. It's not a good thing. But to them, hypocrisy is something to embrace. We had Pastor Hal, if you're listening out there, give us a call in here. I know Pastor Hal had called earlier. There was a lady that called who's got a prayer request. So, Pastor Hal, if you're listening, call in the prayer request. And he's going to, this one has to do with, she fears that, you know, I guess that President Trump is going to be speaking in the Bronx. And they expect to have one huge turnout. And this is driving AOC and the others. But there's a lot of fear that the Democrats are going to try to assassinate him then. And so, if you're listening to this, Pastor Hal, call in. You know, folks have a tendency, and you know, to. Okay, all right, Hal, if you're there, go ahead.
Yes, sir.
So go ahead,
okay,
and
a lady from Oceanside, California, called me, and she says she really has a burden on her heart for President Trump, that she'd like everybody to pray for his protection. Starting especially tomorrow, I guess some kind of premonition she has, and pray for his physical protection and everything. And also, there's jurors that are, you know, on the jury and everything. They're only hearing one side of the thing from the corrupt judge trying to make Trump look guilty. I just pray that God will work a miracle and give those every one of those jurors reason and belief to find Trump not guilty, even though they're trying to make him look that way. So if we could pray real quick, I'll lead the prayer, okay?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Hal.
Okay, dear God, first of all, we pray for President Trump's physical protection. God, protect him in every way. Be his shield and his sword against all those corrupt politicians, lawyers, judges, and everything. I pray, oh God, you come against them. And you're the judge of judges, all judges, dear God. And I pray you come against all their corruption and let them falter and fail in the eyes of the American people. And just exonerate President Trump from all the charges, from any area that's come against him, and make him be the next president of the United States. Keep him safe physically, we pray, oh God, in every way. And God, when those jurors get on the thing and the truth is trying to be kept from them, let that not take place either, God. Let them not be successful in that, but let them exonerate Trump and be in his favor more than they can possibly be. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen.
All right. All righty. Very good. Thanks.
Yes, I just hope all the people out there just keep Donald Trump in their prayers and their daily prayers for his success, for his protection. I feel like God has anointed him, picked him to stand the fire. And boy, is he under the fire, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Hal, if you want to hang around and give the invocation in a few minutes, that would be all right.
Okay. Here. Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right, a couple of things. First of all, I wanted to talk about Graceland Mansion up for auction. Well, I guess they settled that today. The King of Rock and Roll, Elvis Presley's iconic Graceland. I've been to Graceland Mansion. It is quite a, well, I don't know what you would call it. It was quite a place there.
Museum.
Yeah, it would be quite a museum, and A lot of memories for people your age and my age, because we grew up with Elvis Presley. You know, I mean, and things were so much different. Remember back in those days when he was shaking his hip, he wouldn't be allowed to go places. And oh my gosh, you know, today you go down to the beaches and many of the women are almost pure naked. I mean, yeah, I mean, look what's happening today. Back in those days, if you were to do what our president, our vice president, Kamala Harris, did when she was speaking to the Asian American organization, and she dropped the F-bomb, she would have been, back in those days, they would have been arrested immediately for doing that, okay? Today, things are not so good, not so clean as they were back in those days. And that brings back, you know, a lot of memories there. But I guess they found out that it was one of those deals where these bogus, where they tried to steal your property from you. And there you go. It was what they referred to. And let me just go ahead. I'll read you the article. According to the notice provided by Shelby County Courthouse in Memphis, Tennessee, Graceland and its surrounding estate are set to be auctioned off on May, were set to be auctioned off on May 2nd in an auction. In response to the notice, Riley Kale, the granddaughter of the late Elvis Presley, has called an auction a sham and filed a lawsuit to prevent the assets from being sold. On Monday, an attorney representing Kale obtained a temporary restraining order to prevent the sale. An injunction hearing was set for today. And today is, I guess, they had the hearing, and it was nothing but a sham. And so I guess the mansion stays with her.
There you go. I've got kind of a sad story. I've heard so many people on the left try and say that what happened October 6th there in Israel never happened.
And, it was October 7th in Israel. January 6th here, yeah.
I was trying to think how to say this. I was looking at some pictures, and if anybody wants some proof, if you go to the Daily Mail, get a pencil and paper handy here. What I saw was footage of the Hamas terrorists with all these young Israeli women. The terrorists were screaming at these terrified, and these girls were bloodstained, their faces bloody, their dresses bloody. They were smashing them against walls, making threats, telling them what they were going to do to them, how they were going to torture them, rape them, everything else. And the certain scenes were cut out, and they were cut out by the Israeli, the parents of these girls gave permission because they wanted the truth out. So it's a 3-minute, 10-second video, but it's been edited by the IDF to preserve some identities of the murdered, and it doesn't show some of the horrible violence, but it shows enough that it should be a wake-up call. So if you have somebody that says they don't think anything bad happened that day, they can go to the dailymail.co.uk news article and just type in Hamas terrorists taunt young Israeli women. Hamas terrorists taunt young Israeli women, threaten rape. And well, I'll tell you, just I've seen a lot of things in my life. It's hard to look at, and this was just some of the start of what these prisoners went through, what happened to them. This was just the beginning. And if that doesn't tell you the difference between Hamas and Israel and who's telling the truth, then nothing in this world is going to convince you. But people that need the proof, go take a look. It's there, folks. And these were footage taken by Hamas's own footage.
Well, you know, Joe, now you've got the countries are lining up one by one to try to, they want to make a United Nations, to make two countries, to have two separate states there if they want to decide that Israel is going to have to
live with a nation next to them that wants the total destruction. I mean, I've never heard anything so crazy, but several countries now are siding with the World Court and, whatever it's called, I can't think of the something court. Can't think of the actual name of it, but it's called the World Court there. And several European nations have gone along with it. They think that Netanyahu ought to be arrested and tried.
Yep.
It's getting crazy out there, Pastor Ernie. It really is getting crazy.
It's doing exactly what God's Word, the Bible says, was happening. I mean, we're seeing all
it.
The nations.
We're living it.
Yep, we're seeing them as they abandon Israel one by one. And, of course,
as
you know,
as you do unto Israel, so shall it be done unto you, folks. It's kind of a paraphrase, but that's what the Bible says.
Yep. And here they're saying, with Blinken and that, they're saying that we can't turn against Israel until after the election.
Yeah.
So.
Of course, we, yeah.
So, yeah, we have
this
to wait until after.
Okay, see, this is something that has world consequence. Lives are at stake, and what are they doing? What's Biden doing? He's putting politics above everything else. The only thing that matters is winning an election, not right or wrong, good or bad, good and evil versus evil. It's just all about what will get him the most votes, and that should be the reason you do not want to vote for the man. If you're willing to sell your soul for votes, then you're not worth having his dog catcher.
I hear you.
President.
How much time do I have there, Style?
7 minutes.
Okay, Hal, you've got 7 whole minutes. Can you tell us how to get to heaven?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Sure can.
Okay, listen, I just want to say real quick, Israel belongs to God. And God said Israel is going to, that Israel, land of Israel, is going to belong to the seed of Abraham. And so the Vatican, the Muslims, anybody else over there are trespassing after the tribulation period, the rapture period. It's all going to go to Israel. And anybody over there that thinks they're going to own one piece of land that's not part of Israel, they're trespassing, and they're going to be kicked off by God himself. But now listen, everybody listening to me right now, okay, you're going to go to heaven or hell when you die. That's a fact. I don't care who you are, because we're all sinners. And if you don't have your sins washed away by the blood of Christ, you're in big trouble. Your good works aren't going to save you. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. His mercy was shown on that cross at Calvary. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross for us to get to heaven? It's because God is a God of perfect righteousness. His righteousness could not allow sin to come into heaven. So he allowed Jesus Christ to transfer your guilt and mine, your sins and mine, onto his son Jesus. So when Jesus died on that cross, he was being allowed to pay for every lousy, stinking sin you and I have ever done in our lives. And when Jesus said it is finished, that meant it was approved by God. It was finished in full, and God said it is done. So, you know, right now, if you receive Christ as your Savior, you're receiving the payment he paid for you and your salvation on that cross. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Did you hear that? But by me. That's all exclusive. Mary, Peter, Paul, your Aunt Mary and Uncle Joe, nobody can save you. The Pope can't save you. Billy Graham can't save you. It's only when you come to the cross and say, God, you know I'm a dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinner on my road to hell. That's repentance, admitting something to God he knows already anyway. And then you say, but Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my heart right now and give to me the payments you paid in my place on that cross. He'll do it because God loves you, but he hates your sin. God wants you to come to heaven, but he says your sins cannot come with you. And the only thing that can wash away your sins is that precious blood of Christ. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The power of, you know, he's going to forgive us through his blood. And so Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, saved to save from hell. And not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't do one thing to add to what Jesus has done for you. If you go to heaven or hell, it depends on what you do with the finished payment Jesus paid for you. Now, how do you receive that payment? Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call
upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, to call us to pray. If you pray and you ask Jesus to come into your heart and save your soul and be your Savior, he'll do it. And right now, he's knocking at the door of your heart. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And he hears you. He looks at your heart right now. Let me lead you in a simple prayer of faith. We can pray together, but even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God, because only you can receive the payment he paid for you on that cross. And John 1:12 said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." Let's pray. Dear God, I confess unto you that I sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And right now, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Give to me the payments you paid for me on Calvary. Wash my sins away by your precious blood and be my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Now, folks, if you just prayed that prayer, and I know I'm going 100 miles an hour here, but I don't have much time.
Oh.
If you prayed that prayer just now and you asked Jesus to come into your heart, he came in because he cannot lie. And if you sincerely meant that, that means you have a home in heaven. He said in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life." Believe on meant that you received in prayer just now. The name of the Son of God, that you may know, that's 100% certain that you have. That's present tense. That means right now, eternal life. So if I don't see it between now and then, folks, I'll see you in heaven. Why? Because your good works? Never. Because Jesus paid the price for you? Yes. And because you received him into your heart just now. Go ahead, Pastor.
All right, very good. And again, the reality is there any greater source of truth in existence than God's Word, the King James Bible, right here?
No.
No greater source.
So, and I mean, we've been studying this for many, many years, haven't we? Is there any greater source of authority than the Word of God?
No.
None.
Okay, so when the entire universe was spoken into existence by God's Word, then we know that there's nothing that has as much power as the Word of God, huh?
Right.
So, folks out there, this is what we're telling you. God had the things that he just told you, God has said. God has said. And so, you know, when people make all of these statements, well, like, there's a lot of different religions, and, you know, I've actually had a guy call in here on the radio program one time and said, "There's no real proof that Christ ever existed. There's been more written about the Lord Jesus Christ than the next 1,000 men put together on this planet, and this knucklehead makes these woke statements." Well, we're coming up to that time where we come up to, folks. And again, remember, you got to remember this. The time will come, and this is an absolute. This will happen. There's no chance at all it won't. That the time will come when the only thing that will matter to you, the only thing, is you're standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so don't wait. Do what he said. Call upon the name of the Lord tonight. Well, we've come to that point where we come to every night at this time, when we always say to all of you folks out there, thanks for being here, and God bless. And then we always say, good night.
Good night.
And then we always say,
God bless.
God bless and good night. And always, and I do mean always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.